How many know that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever? That God doesn't change. He has never changed. He's not changed as of recent in these modern times that we live in. And some people think God of the Old Testament is not the same as he is today. But how many know that throughout the Word, throughout the Old Testament is actually pointing to the same person, amen, to Jesus Christ. The center of all Scripture is to be Christ. The center of everything we do should be Christ. When we gather, when we meet, Christ should be the center of everything, amen, because it's all about him. It's not about us, but it's about him. And you and I getting to know him. And, you know, if we have an attitude that says, well, I've learned enough, I know enough, I'm good. Then, you know, it's like a tree that quits receiving nourishment. It stops growing. How many know that plants grow as long as they're receiving nourishment, right? But if they're not receiving that nourishment, they'll stop growing. And if they go long enough without nourishment, what begins to happen? They begin to wither, right? And eventually they can die. And so man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So the Lord's word is our bread. He feeds us with his living word. It's a quickening word. It's a life-giving word. Why? Because the Lord himself is a life-giving spirit. So what we want to do is we want to hear from the Lord himself, who is the word. So when we read the written word, amen, it's the living word, amen, that we want to encounter, that we want to know through this. Amen. You can learn about a person and then you can meet them in person. Amen. And there's a difference. Sometimes we think we know somebody by reading about them or hearing about them. Maybe somebody has spoken about you a few words, choice words, you know, and it may be good or bad. That could be bad or, you know, good. But then when that person, you finally get to meet that person or they meet you, then they're able to actually get a glimpse of who you really are. You know, they get to know you personally. And so when we send text messages, remember, it can be very impersonal sometimes because a text message, it's hard to capture the heart of the person. And I'm guilty of sending text messages. They're convenient. I can be doing one thing and sending a text over here, you know. Not when I'm driving, though. But when you send a text message, you know, you're not necessarily capturing the heart of that. You're getting the letter, but you're not getting the essence of that person. You know, you're not connecting really with that person. So when we talk about the name of the Lord, in the name of Jesus, what are we saying? We're saying in the sense that we are representatives of him in this world. Amen. The Holy Spirit will always point to Jesus. Amen. He doesn't point to the vessels, but he points to the Lord. So when we go in his name, what we are doing is saying, I am actually representing him as an ambassador, right? Representing the kingdom government of heaven, and the king's orders is what I follow. I don't go with my own agenda representing what I think is a good idea. How many know, amen, that's where we get into trouble when we start just putting our own opinions in things. Even when we're looking at the Word of God, we can, if we want to, we can twist it to fit our own lifestyle. But how many know that we are to conform to the Word and not the other way around? Amen. God doesn't fit in our box. We're supposed to fit in his. Amen. And so we should fear God. You know, we should take God seriously. When we talk about the fear of the Lord, it really means that you are taking God seriously. I heard somebody say the other day, well, you know, some people are just not serious about the Lord. Well, that's true. And there was a time in my life when I was dabbling with Christianity. I was experimenting with it. I was sampling here and sampling there. I'd go to a meeting once in a while, maybe go to a Bible study. I may get into a little conversation with somebody. I was just kind of dabbling with Christianity, sampling it, you know. But the whole thing changed. I changed when I had an encounter with the living God. And Jesus Christ came to dwell within my heart. And all of a sudden, everything was different now. Amen. No longer was I dabbling with it. I was in Christ. And that made me a Christian. Amen. Because a Christian is not somebody who just acts like a Christian. But a Christian is someone who has been transformed by God into the image of his Son. Amen. And so when we are in Christ, we become a new creation. God doesn't come to patch us up. He comes to change us, to transform us. And so we're living in a time of God's grace, of God's favor, when God is giving people an opportunity to repent, amen, and come to him to be saved. So God's grace has never, listen, it's never been a license for us to indulge our sin nature or to indulge sin. But God's grace has always been God being merciful and allowing us an opportunity to repent of our sin and come to Him for salvation and healing. Amen? So we need to understand this is how God works. His grace is not something that is given out cheaply. The grace of God has been poured out for us on the brutal cross of Calvary. Jesus hung and bled on that cross. Amen. Suffered a horrible death on our behalf so that we could receive the benefits of His sacrifice. And if we reject such a salvation as that, then we will get what we deserve. And that is what we have already sown in our lives thus far. Amen. But without God's mercy, you and I have no hope. Without God's mercy, we cannot be saved. We can't be saved just by turning over a new leaf or improving our life a little bit or making some changes. Now, changes are sometimes good. Amen. I recommend making good changes in your life. Amen. But how many know that that in itself is not enough to save you? You can be a good person and go to hell. You cannot be saved by your own merits. You must bow your knee before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and acknowledge that you are a sinner and that you cannot save yourself and that your only hope is in Him. When you have a repentant heart, when you have what's called godly sorrow, amen, that's what works true repentance in the heart. You see, there's a difference between being godly sorry, amen, In a godly sense, being sorry in a godly sense, and being remorseful. Because you and I can be upset that we got caught. We can be upset that we've made a mess of our life. And we can get into a victim mentality, and we can try to get people to coddle us and pat us on the head and say, "Oh, you poor thing." And sometimes, if we're not careful, we're actually helping a person to continue in that pity party. What God wants them to do is to take responsibility, not for what everybody else has done, but for what they have done. Amen? God wants me to take responsibility for my own actions and not look for somebody to blame. Not blame it on my parents and or that teacher or that cop or whatever it was. Are you hearing me, somebody? We need to put blame where it's due, and that's me. I'm the one that's needing to repent here. I need to change my mind about the direction I'm going, and I need to trust Christ, amen, for His mercy and His grace in my life. And so we got to be careful, guys. Sometimes we're actually strengthening the hands of evildoers by coddling somebody in their self-pity. When what they need to do is they need to turn away from themselves, because self, anything that has self in it is not a good thing. Are you hearing me? Self-pity. And sometimes we think, oh, it's the Holy Spirit. No, not necessarily. Sometimes people are just remorseful because their life is a mess. I've been there. You've been there. I've had my pity parties too. But how many know that godly sorrow works repentance? Godly sorrow is me coming to a realization, amen, that I've sinned against God. And like David said, before you only, Lord, have I sinned. It wasn't about anybody else. It was about me sinning against my God. And I'm taking responsibility for it, and I'm repenting. He says, oh, create in me a clean heart, oh God. Amen? Create in me a clean heart and give me your steadfast spirit. Amen. He was repentant in his heart, and he was asking God to cleanse him and to restore him to his salvation, the joy of his salvation. And that's what God wants to do. But guys, we can't coddle ourselves. We can't give ourselves grace either, because that doesn't save you either. You know what I'm talking about? Where we can just justify what we do and, well, it's not a big deal. You know, I'm not, in other words, I don't want to take responsibility for it, but it's got to be somebody else's fault or it's just not that bad. Besides, everybody else is doing it. So what's the big deal? How many know you even have to be careful about brothers and sisters, amen, that you hang around with? Amen. If they're not living right, you got to be careful. You might just get caught up in that whole thing with them. You need to be able to pull them to Jesus, amen? And if not, let it go. Moving on here. Don't put yourself in a vulnerable situation. Flee from evil. Fear the Lord. So the title of today's message is Fearing God in This Age of Grace. God has not changed. God is holy. He's always been holy. Amen? Sin cannot stand in his presence. God does not wink at sin. As a matter of fact, in the book of Acts in chapter 17, it says that now God commands everyone everywhere, right? Every man everywhere to repent. Because he has appointed a day in which he shall judge the world by that man he has ordained. And he's given us assurance of this by doing what? By raising him, Jesus Christ, from the dead. Guys, God is not winking at sin today. Did you know that? That God is calling all men everywhere to repentance. That's the message of Jesus. He says, repent. He says, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. You see, people are giving themselves grace and calling it the grace of God. Are you hearing me? People are giving themselves grace and claiming it as the grace of God. No, it's no such thing as a sloppy agape, amen? Or a cheap grace. Greasy grace, as I heard somebody say once. No, God hasn't changed. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has given us an opportunity to repent and to be cleansed, amen, and to be restored to fellowship with Him, to have a new life. And if Christ is in you, you become a new creation. But don't be deceived into thinking that somehow you could save yourself. None of us are going to be able to stand before God and say, Lord, Lord, look all the things I did. I was such a good person. I was a hardworking person. I was a family man. I paid my taxes. Well, all those things are good, but all those things don't save. In fact, as a matter of fact, a person is not even ready for salvation until they come to the place where they realize that against God and God alone they have sinned. And I become, you know, aware that I'm in trouble before God and I will not be able to stand in the judgment. You see, some sins go beforehand. Some people are saying, God, I'm getting rid of that now. I thank Jesus for the sacrifice on my behalf, that there's blood there, amen, on the mercy seat in the presence of God, him the Father. And if I would call upon the Lord and repent and renounce those things, that I will find the mercy of God, the forgiveness of God. And when you receive the mercy of God, it changes you. When you receive the grace of God, it teaches you to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. Are you hearing me, somebody? When you're really in the grace of God, you're living a life that pleases God. Somebody say amen. In the early church, in Acts chapter 9, verse 31, it says, the church then had peace throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, and it became stronger as the believers lived in the fear of the Lord. And with the encouragement of the Holy Spirit, it also grew in numbers. So with the fear of the Lord comes what? Encouragement from the Holy Spirit. And as they were living in the fear of the Lord, they reached out to the lost around them. And the church was increased in numbers. God added to the church such as would be saved. Are you hearing me, somebody? Because the church was living in the fear of the Lord. They were taking God seriously. The fear of God was upon them. The awesomeness of God's presence. They were very aware of God's presence. Are you hearing me, somebody? When you're getting close to God, it will change you. Amen? The more that you get to know God, the more serious you'll be about God. As a matter of fact, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of you and I really getting to know God when we are really getting to know who He really is, not the God of my own imagination, but the God who is holy. Then it will change my perspective on everything, and I will be very serious knowing that even in secret, even when nobody's looking, God knows. God's there. God's with you. He's the silent listener in every conversation. We used to have this little plaque on the wall. And so the fear of the Lord was necessary for the early church to be effective in soul winning. In Revelation 14 and verse 6, here we see a picture of an angel carrying the eternal gospel. He said, I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to Him. The angel said to do what? Fear God and give glory to Him. For the hour of His judgment has come, and worship Him who made heaven and earth, the sea and springs of water. What did Jesus say was the greatest commandment of all? was to love God, right? So is there a conflict here? How do we like fear God and love God simultaneously? Well, think about this. Let me give you an example. My dad was not a perfect man, but my dad tried hard, amen, to be a good father to us kids. Now, I knew my dad loved me. I had the benefit of having a dad that loved me. He didn't always do the right things, but most of the time he did a pretty good job, I would say. And I really honor and respect my dad because of that. And I knew that my dad was hard on us kids, but it was because he cared about us. You know? And because he cared for us, when we did wrong, he would discipline us. And so even though we knew that dad was, because when we're out on the playground, you know, and we might get into a little scuffle with some of the neighborhood kids, you know. How many ever have been in that place? I've used this before, but, you know, we were saying, oh, yeah, well, my dad will beat up your dad. And my dad's bigger than your dad. My dad will beat up your dad. So we knew we had dad for backup, you know, if things really got out of control here. The thing was this, is that we knew that our dad really loved us and that he would protect us, you know, if things really got bad, and he'd be there as backup for us, amen. At the same time, we also knew that our dad expected certain standards of behavior from his children. Why? Because as his sons, Bruce is back there, he knows what I'm talking about, we're representing the family name out in the playground, right? Out in the world. And how many know what I'm talking about? When your kids do something wrong, sometimes they're looking at you as the parent. When you go to those parent-teacher meetings, you know, oh, let me tell you about Johnny here. And the parents are embarrassed because of the behavior of their children. Because as far, in their sight, they think, oh, little Johnny, and some parents, of course, they don't get it. They think little Johnny couldn't do anything wrong. But my dad understood that if little Johnny wasn't acting right, he wasn't behaving right, amen, then we're going to have a little attitude adjustment. We're going to have a little talk when we get home here. And so it was that healthy fear of our dad that brought me to a place where I'm like, you know what? I know my dad is there for me. He loves me. He provides for me. You know, he's my best friend in a lot of ways. But my dad would, like, he'd take us fishing, and he did things for us. I remember doing the soapbox derby, and my dad, you know, working with us and making sure we had a really nice, hot-looking car, you know. And my dad was pretty, his name is Jack, by the way, and he was a jack of all trades, so he could really make some nice cars, you know. Of course, we took credit for it, but my dad really did it, you know. And so, again, you know, are you catching what I'm saying here? My dad loved us, but at the same time, because he loved us and we were representing his honor, amen, we had to also understand that there are going to be consequences for my bad behaviors. Amen. And it was that understanding that if I get caught doing this, dad's not going to be happy. Amen. Now, with earthly fathers, you might be able to get away with some stuff. You might be able to pull the wool over their eyes, if you will. But how many know that with God, you don't get away with anything? God sees everything, even your secret heart, your secret thoughts, what you do in private. God sees it all. And if you understand that he's the one to whom we shall give an account to someday, even every idle word that we speak, we're accountable for what we do in this body. Did you know that? Even as believers, we're accountable for what we've done in this body. We're going to have a day in court where everything is going to be laid open. It doesn't mean necessarily you're going to hell, but I know this. I want to have the Lord say to me in that day, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen. You've repented. You've changed your behaviors. Amen. You live to honor my name in the world, and now I will honor you. Are you hearing that? How many want the commendation of the Lord? How many want the Lord to say, well done? You want to hear the Lord say, now this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. This is my beloved daughter in whom I'm well pleased. Hallelujah. You did good in my absence. How many know he sees it? We're not seeing him, but he knows. Because he's with us. His spirit is with us. He's assigned angels to us. And so everything we do in this body matters in eternity, guys. What you do with your life, with your body now, matters in eternity. What you are sowing now matters in eternity. You're either going to sow to the Spirit or you're going to sow to your flesh. Those who sow to the flesh will reap corruption, but those who sow to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. God is saying, store up for yourself treasure in heaven. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not become weary in well-doing. Amen. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We don't give up. We don't quit. Understanding this, God is calling us, all of us in this room, amen, this year, to serve Him, to commit ourselves to Him, to sow in the Holy Spirit, amen, to live for eternity, amen, for His plan for our lives. We need to be willing to let go of our ideas, amen, and embrace what God's plan is for our lives. How many know that God's plan is superior to ours? I think the manufacturer knows the product better than the product thinks it knows itself. So God knows what is right for us, and we need to be willing to bow our soul before the Lord. But understand that when you are getting to know the Lord, when the Lord is very real in your life, when Christ is in you, amen, things begin to shift and change. And you can't be comfortable doing the things you used to do. Even when you go out and say, well, I'm going to go tie on a good one this weekend or whatever. You go out and you just feel rotten about it because that's no longer who you are. If you're in Christ, you're a new creation. You weren't designed for sin. Amen. You're designed for righteousness. You're a child of the Most High God. You're no longer a child of darkness. In Christ, you are a child of the light. So live as children of the light. Walk as children of the light. Walk in the Spirit and you won't gratify your sinful deeds, your sinful body. Amen? God wants us to behave ourselves. God gave us His Holy Spirit. God has given us self-control. He's given us the ability to say no to sin and yes to Him. Do you understand? If we would commit ourselves to the Lord to serve and to follow and obey Him, hallelujah, you won't have time for indulging your flesh. Keep yourself busy, amen, with the right kind of things, the will of God for your life. And don't indulge yourself, you know, anymore. Don't indulge your sin nature, should I say. How can we fear God and love God at the same time? Respect, honor, favor, approval, all these things that we need from God. Amen. Now, listen, it doesn't mean just because I live in the household of my dad, amen, that I'm necessarily doing the right things or living right or living in a way that honors Him. So by identity, I carry the family name, but in my actions, am I actually representing the honor of my dad in the world? Is this making sense today? Are you truly born again? Is Christ in you? If Christ is in you, then you should automatically have a sense of reverence for the Lord and respect for Him. And when you step out of line with the Spirit of God, you know it because His Spirit is in there. The teacher's in you saying, this is the way, walk in it. If you don't have conscience about these things, then you need to get saved. We can say we receive Christ, but the question is, did Christ receive you? Have you repented? If a person's soil of their heart is right, if they're broken and they have this godly sense of sorrow and, God, I've sinned against you and I've made a mess of my life, but Lord, I'm sorry that I have grieved your heart. And that my sin is why you had to go to the cross. I'm the reason why you had to suffer. I don't want to do those things anymore. And God, I'm coming to you for grace to help me to overcome myself, first of all. And then this world and then that devil. For I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So it's perfectly biblical, guys, for us to love and fear God at the same time. Respect for Him. Amen. But also love for our Father, because we know how much our Father loves us and how much He demonstrated that for us at the cross. Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance in the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. This is what the fear of the Lord is. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Proverbs 10:27, the fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. Proverbs 14:26, in the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence, and his children will have a place of refuge. Proverbs 15:16, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. Proverbs 15:33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. And before honor is humility. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of your God. Submit yourself to your soul to your Father. Amen. Obey your Father. Honor your Father. Glorify your Father. Amen. And if you will humble yourself, He will lift you up in honor. And when God exalts you, no man can take that away from you. Don't seek to promote yourself. Let God do that. You know what I'm saying? We can get caught up in that self-promotion thing. Again, the fear of the Lord is a sign that we are beginning to really know God, who He really is. The Apostle Paul said that everything that was written in the Old Testament was for us today. In Romans 15:4, it says, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. So some people say, well, the Old Testament is irrelevant. No, it's not. This whole book is relevant. Amen. We get the types and then we get the shadows and we get the pictures and we get the character sketches, if you will, from the Old Testament of how people had done well and how they had failed. Amen. We see pictures of people in unbelief and people in faith. Amen. Which is relevant today. Amen. For the just shall live by faith, believing God. Proverbs 16, verse 6. Unfailing love and faithfulness make atonement for sin. That's God's mercy. By fearing the Lord, people avoid evil. When a person fears the Lord, they will not live a sinful lifestyle. So if a person is really getting to know the Lord, they will not be living a sinful lifestyle. They will have a certain reverence, amen, and an awe of God that will teach them, amen, as the grace of God teaches us to avoid sinful life, amen. Ungodliness, worldly lusts. So knowing God produces in us a reverential fear and an awe of Him as, you know, someone to whom we know we're going to give an account because He sees it all. He knows it all. And that's why when I mess up, praise God, I have an advocate with a Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We can run to the Lord and say, Lord, please forgive me. I'm sorry. I don't know about you, but I seem to be doing that on a daily basis. Amen. I'm not doing these gross sins. I'm not going out committing adultery or anything like that. But guys, there's times when I just got to take a thought captive and I didn't, you know, or whatever it might be. And I just need to say, Lord, I'm sorry for that. I allowed that thing to seep through. And take every thought captive. Don't entertain evil thoughts. Amen. You can't always avoid the evil thought coming to you. Did you know that? The devil will just throw them on you. But what you do with it, you can have control over. Amen. You don't have to entertain it. Because it goes from one thing to the next. Next thing you know, you're actually living that out. All right. So Proverbs 3:7 says this. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. You know, I run into a lot of experts. How about you? There's a lot of experts right out there. They can tell you all about it. And you know, even in Christendom, if you will, there's a lot of experts, you know. Oh, we know. Well, you may have a theological understanding and a concept of who God is based upon the written word. The real question is, do you fear the Lord? Because if you fear the Lord, it means that you're getting to really know Him personally. Not just getting all this theological understanding, right? Is the difference. Because we can just get proud of ourselves because we know so much. Oh, well, let me impress you with how much I know. I really waxed eloquent this morning in that message. Well, we don't want to be, as someone said, accidental Pharisees, right? Self-righteous, you know. Vainglory, looking for the accolades of men, the recognition of men. And oh, let me call you rabbi, teacher, or pastor, or elder, or apostle, prophet, evangelist, so-and-so. I mean, some people got more labels than, you know. First of all, we're children of God, amen. And we may be functioning in one of these offices, but that's, you know, it's really not about us, is it? But we do need to know the Lord. You know, and guys, if you don't have a hunger to know the Lord, then there's a problem. Let me say it again. If you're not hungry, if you're not passionate about knowing the Lord, then there's a problem. Because if you're not hungry for the Lord, it means that you're filling yourself up on something else that's taking His place. Oh, it might be media. What is it? We need to ask ourselves that question. What really matters? We had a memorial service here yesterday, amen? Once a person passes away, there's no chance to go back and redeem the time. It's forever gone. One of these days, you and I will take our last breath, and then what? Well, God, let me go back now and make some changes. Let me go now and serve you now. And a lot of people are thinking, well, one of these days I'll give it another 10 years and then I'll commit myself to serve the Lord. Who knows? You may not have another day. And whatever you're sowing now, you're sowing in eternity. Amen. Sow your life now for that which will be, because soon and very soon we're going to see the King. And what is our life? It's but a vapor. So quickly, the days, the hours are going by. What are we living our lives for? Are we just indulging ourselves and making ourselves feel good? I've been at some memorial services, and I'm not talking about the one yesterday, but I've been at some where all they're talking about, oh yeah, they really were a connoisseur of restaurants, and they loved to golf, and they loved to do this, and they loved to do that. And oh, they really had a great life. They were world travelers. They went to Hawaii. Well, that's great, but what did you do for the Lord? That's the only thing that's going to matter in eternity, is that what have I sown now? Realizing that someday, amen, Jesus said there will be a treasure for you. You don't lose what you give to God. Amen. The sacrifices you make to serve the Lord, to give out those Bibles, whatever you're doing. Amen. Your labor in the Lord is never in vain. God sees that. God takes that and receives that as worship unto Him. What are we living for? Are we just living for ourselves? Or living just for our families? Do you know our families are important? Amen. But we need to think outside of that box too. Because if it's just about my family, then I'm being selfish. What about others? What about the body of Christ? What about my local church? Guys, we need you to partner with us. We need you to pull in. Let's do this thing together. Amen. There's people here that need what you have. And if you're not here, they're going to not receive the benefit of that. We have evening services. When we get together in the evening, amen, we have a good time of sharing. There's a great opportunity. You have a word. You have a testimony. You want a praise report. Come on out and share that. Amen. On Wednesday nights, we get together. It's very casual. We're not a big group, but we can sit around. And we can talk about things. Amen. For a while, we pray together. You have a need. Amen. Whatever it is. But here's an opportunity for us to cross-pollinate, if you will, and to edify one another using the different gifts and abilities God has given us. Invest. Know that your labor is not in vain. When you're sowing into a brother and sister, when you're giving to a brother or sister, when you're blessing a brother and sister, you're blessing the Lord. Because they represent Him. Because they're His children. But we need to fear the Lord. And guys, it's not about just, well, okay, today I'm going to fear the Lord. No. Today, I'm going to seek the Lord. I'm going to draw near to God. Today, I'm going to make an evaluation of my life. And I'm going to confess every known sin. I'm going to make sure everything is out there on the altar. And I'm going to ask Jesus to forgive me. I'm going to ask Jesus to cleanse me. And I'm going to ask Jesus to take away all that filth and all that junk. Amen. All that garbage from my past. And He'll do it. He wants to do it. But you've got to humble yourself. And you've got to realize that you're in trouble with God. If you don't repent of your sins, you will not be saved. Did you know that? Unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. The fear of the Lord, Proverbs 14:27. It turns us away from evil. When a person fears the Lord, they will turn away from evil. When a person truly fears the Lord, it will keep them from sinning. Did you know that? The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. Hebrews 10:31 says it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. 1 Peter 4:17, for the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Whoa. Well, I don't like that verse. I just like eating dessert all day long. How many know in order to be healthy, you got to say, Lord, whatever you're saying, I'm on board with it. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. What part of all don't we understand, right? That each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Now we know God will reward accordingly, right? Romans 14:10, but why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. How many know that all these verses I just read to you are speaking to New Testament believers through the church in this age of grace? Christians must never lose sight of the disciplinary corrective side of grace. Titus 2:11, once again, I quote this a lot, guys, but it's something we really need to understand, that the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. That was Jesus. Amen? And we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God. Not an occasional showing up at church relationship, but a devotion to God. A relationship where we walk with the Lord throughout our life. And we sow into eternity as the Lord would direct us, understanding that one day what we have sown in the season that God has appointed, if you continue to be faithful to sow into water, what you have given will come back to you in that day. That's awesome, isn't it? By repentance and then faith in Jesus Christ alone, we're born again, children of God. So as we continue in his goodness, we have confidence in God, and therefore confidence that heaven is our home. You know, John says that we have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he was in this world, so are we. We're walking like Jesus walked. We're walking with God. Amen? And therefore, if we are looking for him, it's because we're living for him. I say it again, if you're looking for him, it means you're living for him. And if you're living for him, you know that you'll have confidence, because you already have a relationship of peace with God. Amen? You have that assurance in you. You don't have to ask somebody else about that. You'll know in your own heart that things are right. And if you don't have that peace, today is a day of salvation. Today is a day to get it right. To repent, truly repent and surrender your life to him. God will only save you if you give him your life. You try to hold on to it, you'll lose it. The fear of the Lord is a strong motivator for us to shun evil and live a godly life. I want to read a few more, okay? 2 Samuel 23:1. Now these are the last words of David. Thus says David, the son of Jesse. Thus says the man raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel. The Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and his word was on my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spoke to me. Listen to what he said. He who rules over men must be just, ruling what? In the fear of God. Unfortunately, guys, today what we're seeing in the political arena is these biases, political biases, people that are swayed only by the latest poll, influenced by rich donors or to their campaigns. When was the last time that we heard somebody say, I've committed myself to fear to rule in the fear of the Lord? When's the last time we heard somebody say, you know, I intend to rule in the fear of the Lord? And yet that is precisely what God demands for anyone who's in authority and in leadership, that they will rule in the fear of the Lord. Amen. A nation is destroyed by selfishly ambitious leaders who are not submitted to God's authority, but are running on their own authority and want to rule over you and make you their subjects. Jesus said, among his people, we're not to be like that. He said, instead, the greatest among you must become what? The servant of all. He says, I'm one. Here's the Lord of glory washing the feet of the disciples, giving them an example of how they should be towards one another. You see, that's how God exalts somebody, through humility, amen, is honor. And I want to finish with this. Ecclesiastes 8:11 says this. When a crime is not punished quickly, people feel it is safe to do wrong. Where's the fear of the Lord? Do you really know the Lord? The beginning is to learn about God. Would you say amen? We need to know by reading about, learning about, reading the Bible, amen, talking to people, listening to the message. But that message that we hear is always to invite us into fellowship with Him who lives forever, into eternal life with Jesus, amen. So if we are getting to know God, then we will have a reverential fear, a healthy reverential fear for Him, a respect for God, where we take Him seriously and we live our lives in such a way that honors God, because we know God sees, God hears, God knows. And everything we do is either going to bring honor to Him or dishonor to His name. Amen. And the day is coming. Amen. When we shall see the Lord. The day is coming when everyone will have their day in court. Guys, this is a sobering thought, but this is what the Word teaches us. We just read it. That every one of us here have our day. Today is the day of God's mercy. Today is the day of His grace, where God is saying, I'm giving you an opportunity to truly repent and to come to me and give your life to me. If you will obey me, you will bow before me. If you'll submit yourself to me, then I'll raise you up in honor. But if you exalt yourself in your pride and you refuse my mercies, then you'll be destroyed. God doesn't want anyone to be destroyed. Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through me might be saved. Guys, He wants us to be saved. He didn't want you just to do some religious act on Sunday mornings or whatever. Amen. He wants you to have a relationship with Him. And the beginning of that relationship is the fear of the Lord. The closer you are to the Lord, the more serious you'll be about God. And your life will reflect that. When you run into people, they're cussing out one side of the mouth and they're praising the Lord out of the other. And there's a problem there. I remember one time I was in the Army and I was working in this, I think it was an office or something. There was a captain there. And I was, you know, I had a pretty bad mouth, so I was just cussing, you know, and doing my thing. And I used the Lord's name in vain. You know what he told me? He says, there you go, talking about somebody you don't know again. I never forgot that. He was right. It's not enough to learn about God. You need to know God. Jesus said, this is eternal life, that they may know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom He has sent. Do you really know the Lord today? Is He truly in you? Is Christ in you? If Christ is in you, then the teacher's in you. Amen? And He will guide, He will direct you in the way that you should go. And as a good father, He will discipline you when you get out of line, amen, with what He wants. So I'd like you to bow your heads this morning and ask this question to yourself. Am I ready to meet Jesus? If I took my last breath today, would I be ready to meet Jesus? Because I want to pray in just a moment here for you. And guys, we all need to just be honest, amen, and quit pretending. If you pretend to be what you're not, you'll never become what you should. And you're here today, and maybe you're just feeling, I'm not really ready to meet the Lord. And I want to repent today. I want to get things right today. I want to settle things today. Guys, I counsel you not to walk out that door. Amen. If God is dealing with your heart today and you know that things are not quite right, I just want you to be honest, amen, before the Lord. It's not about me. It's about you and the Lord this morning. What does God want for you? He wants your heart. He wants you. He died for you so that you could be with Him, so that you could be forgiven, so that you could have eternal life. Just say, God, I'm sorry. Forgive me for sinning against you, for grieving your heart, for disregarding your precious blood that you shed for me, doing despite unto the Spirit of grace. Lord, I want to repent today. So I come to you, God, and I surrender my life. I surrender myself to you, God. I ask you to take my body, my soul, and my spirit. God, I give you full control of me today. Holy Spirit of God, come into my heart. I welcome you, Lord Jesus. Open your heart to Him right now. Confess those things. Say, God, what is it that I need to confess today? And as He shows you those things, confess those things and say, I confess them and I renounce them right now in Jesus' name. Confess it and renounce it in Jesus' name. If you're here today and you have unforgiveness in your heart, you have holding things against people from your past, you need to settle that. Because if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. And you won't be able to stand in the judgment unless you deal with these things. You need to forgive somebody. Speak to that person. Ask God for the grace to forgive them. Lord, help me to forgive this person. Speak to that person. Tell them, I forgive you. I cancel the debt. You owe me nothing. You're free to go. In Jesus' name, I release you now. I forgive you now. And in Jesus' name, I receive my forgiveness today. God's brought somebody to your mind just now. I want you to speak to that person. It doesn't matter what they did. You don't understand. We've all sinned against God. We are responsible for Jesus on that cross. Take the opportunity right now to get it right with God and acknowledge that you have sinned against Him by holding something against somebody else. It doesn't matter what it was. All of us have sinned and fallen short. Everybody. There's no such thing as self-righteousness. Our righteousness comes from the Lord. I'm not good enough. That's why Jesus died, that He would give me His goodness. And you can say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Thank you, Lord, for shedding your blood for me. Lord, I believe that your blood avails for me. I believe that your blood is enough. And I thank you today, Lord, that because of that blood and because I confess my sins, you are faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Lord, today I receive pardon. I receive your forgiveness. And I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Blessed be your name.